The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. I guess the conditions of the roads are still so treacherous as to prevent all but the best Catholics from coming to Mass today. And how do I know that? Because you're all sitting at the back. That's where good Catholics sit. Yeah, as always, right, it's a challenging passage we have in front of us today. We see that the challenge of his disciples, slow to take up what Jesus is putting down. Here, we're going to Jerusalem, and we're going to fight, and I'm going to die, and in 3 days, I'll rise. Right, the Son of Man, that's his own language for himself. And they must just think that's some kind of symbolic, 3 days slog, really difficult battle, and it's going to look like we're done for, and then we're going to prevail over our enemies. And we know that because they're fighting here to sit at his right and his left when he has come in power. So he's the triumphant king, and now we're going to take ownership in that power and that prestige and that honor and all the rest. And here it's clear, even Matthew, I think, in his gospel, the way that this is retold in the early Christian community, we have two accounts. One, I think, is Mark, and one is Matthew. And Mark has the two brothers coming to Jesus himself. And here, Matthew's like prepared to throw the mother under the bus to say, this is not James and John, but this was just their mother. And my mother is almost the closest to me right now. I mean, she knows, she would make that appeal for me. She would go and make that appeal, except she would probably tell me, "That's not the right appeal to be made, Father. That's not the right appeal to be made." She would be encouraging me to follow Jesus on what he was doing instead of going for worldly glory. But here, we're okay to throw her under the bus. And here we see, yes, Jesus comes back to address them because they put her up to it. Right? Even if it is her, they put her up to it. They want to sit at his right and his left. They want power and glory. But what they're asking, I think this is for us today, where we are. What they're asking for is less than what they will in fact receive. It's less than what God had planned for them. It's less than what Jesus wanted for them. They're asking for power and prestige. But Jesus wants to give them nothing short of the glory of God. And how do they get the glory of God? How do they share the glory of God? It's by embodying his love in much the same way that Jesus is the enfleshment of God. So we should look at Jesus and see, yeah, you know what? That's That is God. That's what God does. That's who God is. And what Jesus does here, suffering, giving his life as a ransom for many, they too can have a share in. And that is going to be their crowning glory as humans, as disciples of Jesus. That is going to be their life fully alive. That's going to be them in all their giftedness come to full fruition when they lay down their lives. And Jesus knows, right? They will drink the cup. All of the apostles, save John, will die the death of martyrdom and be acknowledged then for the great glory of following Jesus in his passion and death, looking like to the world that he's given up his glory. But certainly we know that in the realm of God, in the sight of God, and in the sight of us as those who live now heavenly lives, that they have in fact come into that glory, and their deaths were sign of the glory of God that is willing to go out and sacrifice it all for the true good of the people around them. But here, right, who sits at Jesus's left and right when he sits on, who is at his left and his right when Jesus takes his throne? The two criminals. That's Jesus, he takes his throne. It's the crucifix. It's in front of us every day. That's Jesus in his glory. And it's those two criminals that sit there, sharing not in the glory of God, but in the shame and death of Jesus. One to be saved and one not. Which will be ours today? Will it be ours to pursue our own thing? I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to go home and put the fire on or something. But what are we going to do now? To whom or to what do we commit ourselves here and now? To whom and to what do we commit ourselves every subsequent moment of this day and of our lives? It's too easy to go with the world. It's too easy to try to satisfy the flesh, right? And even the enticements of the devil and what he's offering. Let's go for God. Fasting, right? That we might give up the desire, that we might overcome the desires of the flesh. Prayer, that we might overcome the temptation to go with the devil's way. And almsgiving, that also we might reject the world and live for God. Reject the allurements of the world and live for God. But today we follow Jesus. That's all we want. That's all Jesus wants. It's what he wants of his apostles here as he's headed to Jerusalem. I'd like them to have a little bit of understanding, but they follow him. They do. And so the reward is theirs, not just in the age to come, but even now. Lives fully alive with God's love and mercy, with God's patience and kindness that will enable us, or enable God through us, to bring his loving rule to the world.